Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference, or just trying to make life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Today I talked to members of the Transit Action Alliance of Guelph, or TAG, for a quarterly check-in on transit matters called the Transit Pass. The city of Guelph seems like it's in a real struggle these days to balance the needs of developing more transit, more active transportation, and reducing traffic, congestion, and car use in the city, and TAG is becoming a pretty big part of that. Every couple of months, the Politicast hosts members of TAG to talk about their efforts, and that time has come again. Transit Talk is the topic of this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. Now, since the last time we had the Transit Pass, there have been a number of new developments on the local transit file. At the end of January, the Transit Service Review was delivered with several recommendations that Council seemed to take very seriously and promised to follow up on. But with it came also some serious follow-up questions about what comes next. Though the service review is done, there's now a further review about the schedule and routes. There's the transportation master plan, and then there's the community plan. And if you're wondering how city staff is going to balance all of this visioning work at the same time, you're not alone. Now, TAG has some questions about what comes next, too, and they're trying to get Guelph's concerned transit-using citizens to talk about it. At the same time, they're also lobbying to the city. They've been meeting with Guelph Transit officials, and they've been asking city councilors to join them on the bus to get a first-hand look at the system that they are managing. The review is done, but the battle is far from over to improve transit in this city, and it promises to be a long one for TAG and its allies. So on this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast, the members of TAG will talk about the work they've been doing to promote more transit use in the city. We will also talk about their gut reaction to the recommendations of the service review and their thoughts on expanding the community bus and why there wasn't a bigger public turnout to speak to the findings. We also talk about their expectations of the schedule and route review, getting more councillors to take a ride on the bus, and what they've been hearing from city staff about transit through their advocacy. And we'll also talk about traffic, regional transit, and why Guelph Transit needs to sometimes focus on the good news. Now, before getting into this week's podcast, I will tell you that this is part one of two in terms of transit-related podcasts for this week. This weekend, there will be a special bonus episode of the Guelph Politicast with new Guelph Transit General Manager Robin Gurris. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, TAG Chair Steve Petrick and Membership Coordinator John Marchis joined this week's show to talk about how far they've come on transit from their perspective since the last podcast they did with me in mid-December. So I caught up with the members of TAG just a couple of weeks ago in studio. So we are back with TAG. So could you guys reintroduce yourselves?
I'm Stephen Petrick, and I'm the Chair of TAG.
And I'm John Marchese, and just a member of TAG.
All right, so it's just the three of us versus the bigger roundtable last time. But we will soldier on, and I'll start by asking, how are things going? How are things going on the buses and with TAG and everything?
Well, we went to the Transit Business Service Review came out, obviously, earlier this year, and we had our response to it. We agreed with some of the items. We were so-so with other items, and we had some concerns with the remainder. Overall, we think we had an impact on that and the city budget, which came out literally the next day with some of our concerns. So we felt we really hit a nerve, at least, with some people at City Hall. Had them questioning staff and putting a little more pressure on them to come back with a business plan for what they were presenting in the report. Overall, though, it's been kind of quiet in terms of, like, Twitter complaints or Facebook complaints. I mean, there's still a few, but it's not like it has been in the past. I don't know if that's just because people are burnt out or just tired of not being heard. But overall, I mean, we've heard there's some issues here and there, but it hasn't been like in the past where you're just clobbered with complaints all over the place.
It comes and goes, right?
Yeah.
That, yeah.
Yeah. That, yeah. So,
Yeah, back then, when the service review came out, we had very, very little time to even think of our own, to come up with our response. And, you know, basically we had to come up with that response within days. So, and we didn't get a chance to ask them for clarifications or anything like that. So,
Let's talk about clarification now, you know. What kind of things did you want clarified?
Well, for instance, why... you know, why the expansion of the community buses and moving into route reviews so quickly,
right?
As opposed to establishing a vision and all of that first. And I mean, we're still open to talking to Guelph Transit Management, and as a matter of fact, we have. You know, we have made some moves toward talking. We met with them a couple of weeks ago, I guess. Yeah.
And him being Robin Gurris, the transit manager.
Yes, Robin, and some of his staff. Like, he takes our group quite seriously. That's what he told us. He wants to work with us. I mean, we believe that we're all on the same page. I mean, we all want to make Guelph Transit better than it is. And it's just a question of how we're going to get there, really. And, you know, Steve and I and the rest of the TAG believe that that vision should be established first. Otherwise, you know, it's great to make changes. I mean, we like the fact that their council's approved spending more money on buses for the community buses, you know, which is still a very good thing. And it proves that council, you know, does want to make transit better as well. And we really didn't know that up until, you know, the end of last year. We were concerned that you know, they might not be so much pro-transit, and it turns out that, you know, maybe they are. And, yeah, so you know, I think there's lots of hope now.
Okay. So. Hope can be a dangerous thing. But
true.
Have you guys done a lot of, like, because I do find the community bus piece of this interesting, because I've heard complaints about the community bus. Like, I've seen it roll by with, you know, empty. I've heard people say that. But I've also know that, you know, a lot of people get off at, you know, certain stops when it rolls through the Smart Center, when it, you know, rolls through the Willow West Mall Plaza. I don't know. It does seem like an odd piece to come out of that.
Yeah, apparently it's very, very important to those few people that do ride it.
it has potential. When you look on a map, it really fills out the city. It fills in all the gaps, all the nooks and crannies. It's a good coverage route, which is obviously going to be a very slow and, you know, meandering route. But it's kind of surprising that that's their top priority when, you know, a lot of people want to see more frequent service, more fast service, more direct service. You know, that's why we felt, figure out what the vision is first, you know, and then go from there.
Well, it's their top priority, but not really, because it'll take a year before we get any of these buses. So this isn't going to happen right away.
Right.
At the same time, they're going to go into route reviews right away. And I think they already have some ideas of what they want to do.
Even with the community bus, they mentioned that they would change up the south end a bit to make it a little more streamlined. And instead of a meeting downtown, it'd meet at Stoner Mall, just to make it a lot easier than making that shot down to GCS for no reason and then going back up when there's 10-minute service already and other services. So,
I mean, I think there's some more holistic discussion about the south end in terms of coverage. And I don't just mean in terms of coverage and transit. I mean, like, politically with the, you know, the council realignment and, you know, whether Ward 6 should be divided up or the boundaries changed. But, I mean, that's a big one. But I think what I find curious about the community bus is that we're going to have 6 community buses, and then we're going to decide what they're going to serve. Because, I mean, it's pretty straightforward right now, north and south. So is that, like, north, south, west, east, center, further south? Like, it's... I don't know. I'm curious how they came up with that number. And we're recording this before I do my sit down with Robin Gurris, so maybe I will find that out before we go further. But
when we met with Robin a couple of weeks ago and stuff, he basically we agreed that we're going to meet again and hopefully they'll explain it to us and convince us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like, to know what the business case is. I mean, one of the counselors asked for it too, and you know, it's. Why is that their kind of main focus? On the budget board, however, staff said they were going to use the new buses for potentially the community bus, the Southgate, Hanlon Creek area.
Right.
You know, like, so we're not, it's not set in stone officially, although when we did meet with them, that's what they mentioned, as that was their top thing. But we'll see. Obviously, there's still lots of time before those buses will show up. And
that's another big missing piece of this is about those employment areas in the Hanlon Creek Business Park and Southgate that are presently, like, I don't think the Hanlon Creek Business Park is even serviced at all.
No, there's no transit at all.
Right. And Southgate has the one bus.
Yeah.
So, and as you pointed out, I think the other day, sometimes it doesn't always go all the way.
No. It's true, especially when we had those major cancellations. It got hit a lot because it's connected to the 99 mainline, so it turns into the 16. So it gets caught in the 99's delays. So it's not exactly the best route in the world, and it is one of the lowest ridden routes.
But I mean, it's in scenario of potential growth, and maybe that's where this comes out. Of like, if you could, you know, maybe people who take the bus are turned off from working down that way because they know from experience that, you know, the getting there on the bus isn't easy, and you know, if you have to work Sunday night or you know, early or overnight or whatever, that's kind of not an option for you. Like, working there isn't an option unless you find another way. Not that
we when we were on our tag along with tag with the counselors over the last couple of weeks, that was one of the things we mentioned to them, is how the 16 was very important and how it wasn't really servicing Hanlon Creek, wasn't functioning as well as it could. There's a lot of potential for that. My own brother, my youngest brother, got a car.
My own brother,
ladies and gentlemen, got a car because he lives in the West End, in Willow Road area.
Right.
And it's just not easy to go down the 99 and then go on 16. It's a very long trip. And that's one of those things people need to understand, is that not everybody lives in the South End or can afford to live in the South End. And if they're going to work in Southgate, well, you need to get them around all that and get them to Southgate and Hanlon Creek.
Well, it's not even about afford necessarily, because you have to actually go into the city and then get the 99.
Yeah, everything's through downtown.
Everything's through downtown. Yeah. So we had a proper perimeter route that bypassed all of that, touched on maybe Stoner Mall, and then went all the way down the Hanlon and through Hanlon Creek and touched on YMCA and all that area.
Yeah.
You know, it would be a lot better for a lot of people, a lot quicker, especially those living in the East or the West End.
I wanted to ask you about how the ride along with the counselors is going. Some of the counselors have taken Shan Motway's transit challenge. Phil famously succeeded at failing the transit challenge. But I mean, in terms of like the personalized, like talking to them on the bus and showing them where the problems are, how's that been going?
It went a lot better than it did the first time we tried to do it.
Yeah.
Where we got zero.
But, we thought this was easier to really focus us on a couple hours and captive audience on a bus. And it really worked out well. We had one of our members, Mara, and myself with Counselor Goller. And then on Friday, myself and John went with Counselor McKinnon and Counselor Downer. And we had really excellent conversations and a lot of things I didn't know, and I think I learned and things I didn't know, and they learned about Councilor McKinnon's wanting the free transit concept, which was really kind of surprising for us, because we always thought Councilor McKinnon was a little more fiscal conservative, I guess, if you'd say, but surprisingly he's a lot more open to transit, really a good supporter of transit. He wants it to be functioning and affordable, obviously, for the taxpayer, but at the same time he knows that it's a essential part of our community.
Are we supposed to say that he said that?
Too late.
Yeah, it's too late.
Too late. it's on the record now. I wanted to go back to the service review. I think one of the things that surprised me, and maybe it had something to do with the timing too, was that It wasn't a bigger deal, and I wonder you know, is it because it was like at the end of January in the middle of the budget process? Was it because, like, as I think a lot of how I felt is that a lot of the problems they mentioned in the service review were problems that were identified by those of us that take the bus already. Are people waiting to see maybe what comes out of it? Or is it like, is it one of these situations where people are like, oh, it's a done deal. What can I do? I don't know. What do you think?
I think we felt it was kind of mediocre. Kind of the scope wasn't big enough for everything, what everybody was pumping it up to be.
Right.
The scope didn't cover a lot of it. Windsor's just doing their own service review, and their scope's a lot more broad. So basically what we did here was pretty well what Windsor's going to get as a forward, but we're now just going to take another year or two to come up with those solutions. I'm not saying it was a bad report, but it wasn't a great report either. It was a lot of status quo, not a lot of talk about growth per se.
Right, which again wasn't the point of the report, as you were saying. Like it was about, like, are we getting value for service? And I think we kind of understand that as the other service reviews have come back, we are getting value for service, but I'm not sure. And maybe, I guess the point is to get that assurance that we are getting bang for our buck. But it's not the conversation people want to have.
No. I mean,
John is quietly resigned.
A lot of us were really concerned that it was all about finding ways to cut.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that they realized that there isn't a lot of fat in the system at all.
They went with a lot of low-hanging fruit.
And maybe it's because the previous manager, Mike Spicer, actually did a pretty good job with his changes and getting rid of that and, you know, making the 99, the main line, run better. And let's face it, all the other routes are underserved. Okay, so it's not like the service review could come in and say, we need to cut this one because whatever. Although they did end up cutting the one route, the four, was it?
The three.
Yeah. And
right.
We talked about that last time, I think, quite a bit.
I wanted to ask you guys about, we're kind of fast forwarding. You talked about that it would be preferable to have a vision conversation, but we're going right to the route and schedule review now. So you're iffy. You think there might be a chance that we could get the vision conversation of this too?
Well, what did he say? What did Robin say last time that they're basically working on the vision at the same time?
Right.
So, and the transportation master plan is going to be happening at the same time.
Same time as well.
Before we get a transportation strategic plan. So it's all going to be coming all at once. So
some of the things he said they want to do is the obvious stuff, like the 99. And they're probably not going to change that much. And if all they're going to do is maybe add that 10th bus, you know, that's pretty harmless. But if they're going to start running routes into the industrial areas, and they specifically said that is on the table, you know, for the immediate route reviews, that's the part that we're a little concerned about. That, you know, you'd hate to have like once the vision is established in the master plan, that they have to start changing things.
Right.
Because change, as much as it's needed, it's not needed frequently. You need to do it correctly.
Experienced the past decade or so, it's just every other year was something changed here and there, and that was something our group brought up when we met with Robin and his team. That was one of our concerns, and he wants to not have that happen again.
Right.
And we need to see that, you know, for sure, because we've experienced it. We're seeing the flags all over the place, you know, we've been down this road, so, you know, let's try not to go down that road. And
right, and I think we don't want, like, to have what happened a couple of years ago where it's like we're releasing whole new schedules, all new maps. Having said that, I think what Transit did right this time was that they stuck to the changes, right? Because the realignment before that was just like 2011, 2012. They started like taking it back. It's like, okay, no, we're going to take this route and turn it back into that, and we're going to run all the buses through the square again because people were mad we took the buses out of the square. And I think that to the relief, you know, if we're going to have a base system, and that's the way it was pitched, we're going to have a base system from which to build from or which to to Jengaize and switch around to make it work better, that, you know, stick to the plan. And I think if there's one thing we can say is that they've stuck to the plan.
Yeah.
Despite the upheaval.
It
was a much better plan. I mean, let's face it, the 2011 one, I thought the routes were actually good. Mm-hmm. The problem was that they couldn't run on time. And having to run, you know, initially they were based on 15-minute service.
Right.
And then having to go to 20, I mean, that was a disaster back then, really. Yeah. So.
Right. And it makes me think, too, because you mentioned the traffic, the transportation master plan. And I wonder how much of this is out of the hands of transit, how much of this is traffic. Because, you know, we talked about the 99 having issues staying on time. Well, that's not necessarily the drivers of the 99's fault. That's the fault of, you know, being busy at 3 p.m. on Gordon Street, being, you know, at 10 a.m. downtown, having like three delivery trucks going to the restaurants and bars at the same time. It's not just a transit plan. It's a traffic plan.
No. And that's something I wrote about in the Mercury Tribune recently, was that we need to give a path for transit. We need to give transit priority over cars.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be a priority in this transportation master plan. Gordon Street between Wellington and Clare is definitely busy day and night for the most part. There's other spots in the city where just having a bypass lane would do wonders for that bus. So there's a lot of potential, and that would be part of the transportation master plan, transit strategy discussion. Obviously, transportation master plan is all modes of transit, biking, walking, which is when you think of transit, buses, people walk, people bike to the bus. So it's all an integrated thing. We just got to make sure that the transportation master plan is actually going to be integrated properly this time, and we actually follow it, because the previous one, we kind of dropped the ball. And transit, when I look at GO Transit, kind of went off on its own tangent and then just...
Well, can you talk about how, because, you know, people don't have that institutional memory about why things went wrong. What? How did things go wrong, Steve?
They kept changing general managers.
Yeah.
Well, who have their own visions, which then changes, you know, what was put on paper. And council at the time, I guess, just did not do its job, or the CAO or whoever, you know, was in charge wasn't keeping, you know, everything on track. So we were just kind of all over the place. And then obviously we've seen a change in management and change in councils and CAOs, and things have settled down now. So hopefully we'll get people, a new CAO and a transit plan that people will stick to instead of changing, you know, 1 or 2 years down the road.
Right. Right. When does all that come to the new transportation plan?
I believe they're going to start doing it this fall, but I could be wrong. I know they reached out to our group about just how consultation work would be going. But other than that, I think it starts in the fall, but I could be wrong. It could be earlier than that.
Okay. What are you guys doing right now? And in terms of, I mean, because, you know, I think one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast is sort of keep it top of mind. So, you know, transit issues are all year-round issues and not just when there's reports and things. So what are you guys working on right now?
Well, we were working on our Tag Along with Tag, which was to get counselors on the bus to have a conversation, which was really successful in our minds. A counselor, McKinnon, commented he was surprised at how many people yelled out to the driver as people were exiting out the back door, thank you to the driver. He had never seen that before. So, you know, I think just things like that really opened their eyes. We ran into drivers as we went, and they talked to the counselor and ourselves and regular passengers as well. Chimed in. It was a very, very...
One of the guys overheard us talking. He said, yeah, everything they say.
So we want to do more of that. And I think we're going to try to do more of that hopefully this month and into next month when it's still kind of semi-busy on the buses. We are working on, we're going to meet with Robin again down the road. We're kind of going to look at, you know, what's our vision for transit? Like, what's throw the spaghetti in the wall kind of thing.
And don't forget about Andrew Cleary the president of the union. He really wants to see transit better as well, too. He even became a member of our group.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, he came to a couple of
eventually, hopefully, the union, too. He's going to be bringing that forward to their next meeting. So
very cool.
And we're going to be going out to the community groups over the next couple of months to try to get more support, more membership, because it's very important that we continue to build this coalition of transit people. I was going to say geeks, but that's not true. Transit users and supporters.
Right.
And that's a priority for us, because we definitely need to get our numbers up as we go along.
Eventually a transit summit of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hopefully in the fall.
Yeah.
If we can get things put together. So, you know.
Yeah, if anybody out there is interested, we'd like more members too. So.
Tag.com, please. Tag.com.
Please. Tag, get
my website correct.
Yeah,
sorry,
your
my
website
apologies.
Right.
It's been a long day. Riding the buses. I gotta say, riding the bus on that Friday from morning to night, you know, it was a long day.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know what a bus driver feels, and I wasn't even driving the bus. I was exhausted.
Right.
By the end of it,
so
different.
Yeah, it feels like everybody's on board, right? So I'm wondering, what's the X factor? Like, what does it take to swing the pendulum? Because it just feels like we started this by saying like people aren't complaining as much as they used to be for the moment, but you know. There's kind of no momentum, I think. Cause, you know, I was on the Guelph subreddit the other day, and somebody was talking about, like, what's transit like in Guelph? And the first answer, of course, is terrible. But, I mean, there are issues, and it can be day-to-day. But as you said, people are always thanking the drivers. There's always like something out there, like my bus driver saw so and so by the side of the road struggling with something. They stopped and got out, and you know, there are a lot of great transit stories. And I guess how does this pivot? How does this become like? How do we pivot from the bitch fest into the improvement fest, or however we want to take that?
Well, transit has a lot of opportunity to self promote all those positive stories.
Mm-hmm.
The funny part is the last few days, they had nothing out on Twitter.
Mm.
There was no tweets at all.
No service interruptions.
No service interruptions, no promotions of, say, you know, take your backpack off when you get on the bus or, you know, the storm ticket things or any positive stories. There was no retweets or anything like that. That's a vehicle to use more, that social media. And
it's almost gone the other way, right? Where it's nonstop service delays.
Yeah.
Oh, who's not running? What's not running? When's it not running?
And that was a suggestion I made to them.
Right.
Kind of break that up with some positive stuff so that people don't think it's just always cancellation.
Yeah.
So I know it's something that transit will look into as they go along. And I know our group will keep pressure on them to, like, this is an opportunity to do better, to promote, you know, your organization better.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to something you said about, you know, how's Guelph Transit terrible?
I didn't say it. People are saying.
Okay,
John.
You said that people said. Fine. But really, I don't honestly believe Guelph Transit is terrible. It's actually a pretty decent transit system compared to all the ones out there that really are terrible. And we have a lot of those in Ontario.
Right.
So
the comparables were not like terrible. We were on average. We were
But it's the mess. Like it's the message though, and it's like the go-to sort of sardonic, sarcastic answer when somebody says, "What's the transit like in Guelph?"
Terrible.
It sure didn't help when they were short all those drivers.
Yeah,
and now they fixed that. And
there's a lot of new
I'm still seeing some drop runs because You know, for me, I ride either the 99N or the 41 every day. I wait for whichever comes first. So I notice the 41N is still not there sometimes, and that's the first one that they drop when they have to.
Yes.
At least that's my understanding.
But
anyway.
There are a lot of new faces driving behind this.
We supported that.
And they're all on the 99s, by the way, because none of the more experienced drivers want that route because of the pressure of having to be on time.
That's what seniority does.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not saying that's not fair.
No.
I'm just saying it demonstrates, you know, what a
seniority
a
has
that
its
is.
Privileges. Yeah. But I mean, it points to something important that is a heavily trafficked route, an important route, and it's emblemized by how many people are packing onto that bus. And I think probably at particular times of day as well, you know, at the beginning of the school day or the work day, and at the end of the school day or the work day too.
Yeah, but it is hard on the drivers, though.
Absolutely. No question about it. Absolutely.
Now, we were kind of disappointed that we're slow about hiring these new drivers. Instead of doing it all at once, we're still going to have overtime. That's going to be costing the taxpayer a lot of money and burning out drivers.
Yeah, that's
a lot
one
quicker,
of the things we suggested, actually, that, you know, why not do it right away?
Right.
You know,
I think we need them now.
Right.
And we understand there are challenges, but there's also opportunities to go out there and, you know, Recruit people, go to high schools, job fairs. I mean, there's a lot of
that is one of the big challenges, the fact that there aren't people, there are many people out there that want to be, well, transit drivers or anybody's transit, or maybe it's because there's too much competition.
The city is definitely not as affordable as it used to be. The vacancy rate's low, so there's a lot of factors we understand, but, you know, there's opportunity within the city if you can get the high schoolers and say, hey, you know, driving a bus isn't as bad as you think it is, and not to say going to university is not a great thing, but, you know, we have opportunities in truck driving, bus driving. You know, there's a lot of areas that there's shortage that is going to get worse as we go.
And that's not a Guelph problem.
No, it's also a region problem, a national problem.
Yeah. Maybe before we wrap up, maybe we can talk about regional challenges. You know, I know as we sit here, there is... announcement today, the NDP wants to push the government to get two-way all-day go trains. But I know that there's a push on to get more buses going regionally too. I know I talked to some nice ladies from Metrolinx last week. The takeaway I had was that I think we need to put some pressure on Metrolinx.
Well, TAG isn't just about Guelph Transit, actually.
We're
about any transit that affects Guelph and the surrounding area. It's just that, you know, we had to focus on something first. And the service review coming and the problems and the fact that, you know, it obviously had to be the first thing we looked at. But we're extremely interested in that, and we definitely want to have some impact there as well, too.
Yeah, we have we're part of a group of different groups, transit advocacy groups, on a petition to the provincial government to keep the promise to fund transit across Ontario. So, you know, we're doing that campaign right now. We're interested in how this two-way all-day go transit goes.
All three parties, by the way, said that they were for that.
Right.
Okay. HSR, no, that was just the Liberal plan only, the high-speed rail.
Right.
But the only problem is it's still years away by the time they make all the physical improvements that have to be done to make it possible even.
Right. It was never, that was always overly ambitious because you have to bury all the train crossings here in Guelph to make high-speed rail possible.
Well, and not to mention they were going to create a bypass line. Naturally, you know, the Conservatives are going to have their own way to do it, too.
Right.
I doubt if they'll follow the Liberal plan.
But the bypass thing is interesting because I've talked to people who are like, if we're not making the bypass, it can't happen because they need that bypass because that's how the freight is going to
exactly.
Get
you
out
have
of the
to
way.
Get, yeah, they can't be sharing the same lines.
Yeah.
Really. No. So. And what they did, the news release that came out today, or not the news release, excuse me, the news article, kind of rehashed a lot of what was already announced at the town hall in Kitchener, where they were going to put double tracks. And it's mostly bypassing tracks, not necessarily double tracking. So it's really where the GO train will park and wait for the freight train to go by, which could be a bit of a problem because I've been on those before and I've watched delays still happen and it's not a perfect compromise, but I think it's a compromise the provincial government wanted to do because of the costs.
But if that means that instead of being 8 years, it's going to be a year or two,
a couple of years,
then bring it on, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, that could be the trade-off. It's like, do you want it
now
or do you want
wait,
it in
you know,
a decade?
2024, yeah.
But yeah, if there's going to be some like extra waiting on trains, they're going to have to put in some new seats on the trains.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were talking about that before the show, but, you know, you don't want to be sitting too long, especially when on a back train.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, maybe and that's...
It'll be interesting when Kent Street gets closed off, parts of it, the different roads that are over go over it, you know, that's in the plan. And I saw that document a few years ago, and I think that's still the plan. So that'll be interesting to see what the neighborhood says.
Right. But once that does happen, it's the only improvement is just going to be the fact that we have the trains going all day. But the trip to Toronto will be a lot faster, too, because part of the reason why it's so slow is because it is all single track. It's it's dark.
And a lot of crossings.
A lot of crossings.
So it's...
Having to wait for freight trains.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still skeptical, admittedly. You know, I've been around for a while.
Yeah.
So it's you know, for Jeff Urich, the Minister of Transportation, to say it's going to be 18 to 24 months, I will believe it when I'm sitting on a train at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday going to Toronto.
Yeah,
so
as a former Go user, daily Go user, I mean, I remember the Liberals saying a lot of things over the years and nothing really happening. So
Yeah.
But even something like getting Guelph, connecting the city of Guelph better with the Aberfoyle GO station, GO bus station, I should say. Mm-hmm. I mean, do something like that, or to Fergus. Obviously, KW, whether it's trains or buses even, I mean, it's not that straightforward to even take a bus from Guelph to Kitchener.
It would only benefit, like, the piece that's forgetting, a lot of people think it's about going to Toronto. But no, there are a lot of people who want to live in Toronto but work in
Kitchener
Silicon Valley.
Oh, how about
Valley?
Hamilton, by the way?
Hamilton,
I would yeah, so go to Mississauga first. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Now, Route has done a decent job of filling in the gaps, but
at
that price point, it's just not as attractive as it could
no.
be.
No, and I mean, and they're struggling, too. They're trying to do a lot with... A little. And I mean, to their credit, and they've been on the Politicast, Hammond, who runs it, and you know, I applaud the effort, but we really do need greater regional
transit
solutions. And again, that was just my takeaway talking to Metrolinx, is that it's actually easier than people might think, and it's about pressure. To say, like, if we want a direct bus between Guelph and Kitchener, then
the funny thing is, for years people have been emailing Metrolinx saying this,
but she said, the lady from Metrolinx, like, somebody brought it up at the town hall, and it was like, well, it's the first time we've heard of it, and I was
new management
skeptical.
Obviously, so
new
management needs a bit.
It's the first time new management heard it.
Not necessarily Metrolinx. Over the years,
it could be, but I mean, perhaps consistent pressure, so that it's not so easy to wash your hands.
Our own town hall or during our transit summit, we'll have to make that.
Oh,
part
absolutely!
Of our issue,
yeah, we have to include that too.
Yeah. All right. Well, that leaves us. That leaves us some direction to talk about the next time, so I will see you guys next quarter. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, you're welcome. Our pleasure.
And once again, that was the members of TAG, and you can learn more about TAG by visiting taaguelph.com, which is their website. They're also on Twitter at taaguelph, and they are constantly updating with their advocacy to create more transit in the city. The gang from TAG will be back on the Politicast sometime later this summer. And that's it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can find Guelph Politico on Facebook by looking for facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating to Guelph Politico, and you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly, in fact this weekend. And until then, see you next time.